Welcome, 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 geeks and nerds, girls and boys, to a brand new episode of Geek to Me Radio. Tonight, we have writer and artist duo DG Chichester and Carl Waller on to talk about their new Kickstarter project, Axel's Inferno, how you can support it. After that, we'll be talking with the voice of Wonder Woman, Susan Eisenberg, about our brand new podcast, Justice League Revisited. All that and more, stand by.
We're talking TV, comics and movies, and video games. Star Trek from Star Wars, we'll try to explain. There are 12 doctors, 4 Hogwarts houses, 1 ring rules and more. To be the greatest Pokemon master, you must catch them all. You must catch them all. Try to catch them all. Gotta catch.
If you're driving around the greater St. Louis area tonight listening to us on the big 550 KTRS, hello to all of you. Thank you very much for tuning in. If you're watching us on the stream on YouTube and Facebook, hello to all of you there. Thank you for finding us. And as always, if you're hearing us after the fact in the podcast form, we do appreciate you listening there. Hopefully you subscribed by now, left us a nice 5-star review. If you're watching on YouTube, click the subscribe button there and also hit that little bell notification. So every time we go live, you get notified that we're live and you can enjoy the show. This show brought to you by the Greater St. Charles Convention and Visitors Bureau, discoverstcharles.com, and of course, our partner Kokomo Toys in Kokomo, Indiana. We're going to kick off with our trivia question, our toy trivia question for a giveaway from Kokomo Toys. You can text us at 84126, and Jolie will be monitoring the chats because I haven't logged in yet. The question tonight, toy-related trivia, it's so simple. Which toy property was led by a character named Optimus Prime? That's all you have to do. Tell us which toy property was led by a character called Optimus Prime. We'll send you a Kokomo Toys prize pack courtesy of our friends in Kokomo Toys in Kokomo, Indiana. If you've never been by there before, my goodness, if you live anywhere close, you have no excuse. I almost diverted from my trip to the con in Cincinnati, Cincinnati Comic Expo, just to go up there. It was going to be an extra hour drive out of my way. I was so close to doing it because it's an amazing place. So many toys, wall-to-wall toys, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, now Funko Pops, loose toys, all sorts of cool stuff. Check out their social media because they're always doing cool things there, and some of their stuff goes up on eBay. So if you follow them on social media, they'll put eBay links and you can actually get the stuff without having to travel all the way there. But if you do travel, you should definitely check out Kokomo Toys in Kokomo, Indiana. Very glad to have them as our partner here on Geek Me Radio and for our toy giveaway. The question once more, what toy franchise was headlined by a character named Optimus Prime? Text us that answer at 84126 and we'll get you a prize pack sent off. My first guest, it's an interview with DG Chichester, who's been on the show before, and the artist who I've not had the chance to meet yet, but I got to talk to Carl Waller about their Kickstarter, Axel's Infernal. Here is that interview. Right now we're talking with writer DG Chichester, artist Carl Waller. They've got a brand new Kickstarter for a project that's literally been 20 years in the making, Axel's Infernal. We're going to talk about that and how you, the listener, can support this project. Dan, Carl, thanks for your time.
Thank you, James. It's really good to see you again. Thanks for doing this.
Of course.
Glad to be here, man.
So as I mentioned at the beginning, this is 20 years ago. You guys were doing, if I'm not mistaken, Motorhead at Dark Horse Comics, and this was an idea that was pitched to them and never got fruition? Or is this something as you collaborating, like, wouldn't it be fun? And now you're kind of revisiting.
The second one, Motorhead had ended. They brought us in to help relaunch Motorhead as they try to kind of get their line of superhero books up and running again. It ran its course, however many issues was, 6 or 8 issues, but Carl and I just had a ball working together and started thinking about, is there a way to kind of continue on with that? If I just keep babbling, I will dominate the conversation as I always do. So, you know, Carl, I will pause dramatically for you to insert your commentary.
I sent an email to Dan And I said, hey, what about two characters delivering things in hell? That's it.
I remember it differently, but you know, I'm going to go. We can take that too.
Because I was just thinking of something that would be as short stories, and I'm thinking visually, so I'm going, ooh, I could draw different hells. But I just said two dudes in a truck, and they're delivering things, like they have to deliver Pandora's box. And then silence from Dan for a while, and I get this written proposal from him that. Do you remember those old Maxell ads, you know, with the dude in the chair?
Yeah.
And he's got his arm. Yeah. That's how that read. And he had taken this thing and just hulked out on it. And I was floored.
Well, it was actually, and this is just a detour, as a story about truckers, you know, on the road back and forth to hell might be, but. It's kind of what drove me out of comics in a way, because we pitched it not to Dark Horse, but we pitched it to another place that sort of specialized in dark, you know, eerie stories. And it was trying to be a good editor, a good creator, and kind of asked permission to send this in. You know, would you be willing to take a look at this? So we had put this proposal, and Carl had then, you know, taken what I had written and started to kind of visualize this, you know, think about who these characters might be visually. And so we put together a pretty good package of that. And I said to this editor, you know, or I tried to reach this editor many times, no return calls. And then finally I got this guy on the phone, and it was just, you could tell he was sorry he picked the phone up and pitched, you know, tried to pitch the idea a little bit and said, you know, here's the gist of it. And he was like, yeah, sure, send it in. And then just as I'm hanging the phone up, excited, going to run to FedEx, get this out there. Who are you again? And it just deflated me. It just took all the wind out of my sails, you know. So I didn't have the energy and the wherewithal to sort of pursue it more from my point of view, and started to kind of, as Carl said, life kind of got in the way, and I moved my business into other areas. And then, you know, a couple of things happened. Carl and I reconnected, and almost simultaneously we asked ourselves each, do you remember that thing? You know, so there's a reason maybe this thing sticks in your head. And then my friend Greg Wright found it on his hard drive. I had sent it to him, and he had a copy of this thing. So he was able to say, do you want this? You know, you want this back? He's like, yes.
Yeah. Holy crap. I didn't know that.
And so I think this was the universe sort of telling us, you guys better do something with this, or, you know, we're going to go somewhere else. Like it's about time. So we began doing something with it.
From the original pitch, Greg gives you the thing back, you've got it all. Is it still pretty much intact based on what you did then with what we're seeing now on the Kickstarter, or has it evolved? Has it changed? Obviously, it's not two guys anymore. You've got these two characters, one Percy, and then the other character on it was Virgil.
Virgil.
So yep. That part changed, but has much more of it changed and evolved from the original concept?
The players, the characters, the situation is pretty much the same. What has evolved is Dan and I are two very different people with, and I think this started in like 1998, so it's been more than 20 years. We have both very different perspectives on things. So the evolution, I'm glad it didn't happen back then, because I don't think we could have done it as well. We're both much more bizarre now. But it's the same, but not. I know that sounds kind of strange.
And it always had those two characters, even though Carl's original, you know, kickoff was one thing. When we then took it to the next level, even back then, it was Percy and Virgil. Like they were it. And the dispatcher, their demonic dispatcher, this character Necros, who's their foil and sort of, you know, the serpent in the garden, as it were. So that always maintained itself. And when we came back to it, structurally, it stayed the same. You know, there's a lot we're using there. The title changed, like back then it was Route 666, right? You know, let's take a good piece of lumber and let's like slam it here. But as we came back to it, we looked at, there had been a Route 666 comic, which was nothing like this in the interim years. Probably we could have gotten away with doing that. I don't think that comic exists anymore. But it felt different, as Carl said, you know, and so we didn't feel the title fitted as much. And we went through, I don't know, what was it, 50, you know, a bunch of titles, and we kept kind of running these things out. It was like, you know, Run with the Devil, you know, The Road to Hell. I mean, there were all these obvious things. But we started to kind of look at these grim warish titles, you know, these things like, you know, the Malleus Maleficarum, you know, these Hammer of Witches type things. And this Axles Infernal, you know, the Axles obviously being about the trucks and the Infernal being about the heat from down below, you know, just came to life and it really cinched it for us. And the story, I agree with Carl in that sense that it sounds kind of ridiculous to say I'm happy this didn't happen then. But I think if it had happened then, it would have been a good comic. And but it would have been very 90s action, right? Yeah, it would have had this sort of explosion, this. And there's explosions and there's things here, don't worry. But I think the flow of it has allowed itself to kind of pace itself out in a much more interesting way.
And also the good thing about doing it now is that in 1998, we didn't have things like Kickstarter, would have had to been the property of whatever company you pitched it to. Now the two of you own it outright, which is one of the brilliant things about a lot of artists and writers who are doing projects on Kickstarter, like Jimmy Palmiotti's Paper Films, Ron Friends and Tom DeFalco just launched their The Right Project on Kickstarter. So this is really, from that standpoint too, the greatest time for the two of you to be doing this.
Absolutely. I mean, it's we bounced around with that whole idea of, do we go after publisher X, Y, and Z who hasn't gone bankrupt yet or, you know, and done this. But while this is a much heavier lift, you know, in terms of what you have to do and put it together and market it yourself, and there is an appeal to just creating, right? Let me just create. This allows us to get moving on it.
One of the things I liked was your description, and it was The Good Place meets From Dusk Till Dawn, one of my favorite TV shows and one of my very favorite movies. So that's a perfect description. I'm already all in. I cannot wait till this launches.
Thank you. Yeah, and that is that, to give credit where credit is due, was a quote from Greg Wright, who sort of acted as, you know, a good editorial second brain, you know, for me, especially as we kind of came back into this. You know, has been somebody to kind of look at it very critically, you know, and say, you're missing this from the writing end, you know, especially, you know, this isn't lining up, this isn't working, which was important, I think, to make sure that it communicates things in the right way, to try to make it be as good as it possibly can be.
For those of you who might be listening, in case you're wondering about the pedigree, Dan's worked on Daredevil, obviously, Terror Inc., Clive Barker's Hellraiser series, and of course, Carl's worked on TSR, Wonder Woman, Wolverine. We've got the letter of Pat Brosseau, who's done a lot of stuff, everything from Batman. He's been the letter on DC and Marvel comics. So the pedigree on this comic alone, just with the talent that's involved, and obviously the colorist Wesley Wong, also just the four of you guys, this is done by professionals.
There's a little bit of the, you know, hey, let's do a Kickstarter. You know, even if we have professional credits, I think there is, you know, as many people do these things, you know, there's a lot of unknowns, a lot of things that sort of have to play out, especially when you're doing it on your own, right? But we are collaborating with, I feel, great people.
Well, my stuff can be a pain to color, and Wesley was doing like expected of colors in comics these days, which is a very controlled and very almost like airbrushed, obviously computer colored vibe. And I was hating it. And Wesley's incredibly talented. I was hating it because I was like, I want Wes to color this, but I'm hating this. And I was talking to him. I said, Wes, man, color outside the lines. I said, since my line work is so tight and so anal, why don't you just pretend like you're hitting it with watercolors and color outside the lines? And he sent me back three pages that were hey, these are just roughs. And I'm like, that's it. And he was happy because it's easier for him to do. And I was encouraging him, like, man, dude, be experimental. And Dan and I were talking about, there's no aspect of this that's not, that we're not massaging. And I brought up to Dan, I said, what about a certain kind of color key when our characters are in hell or one of the hells? I said, the callback would be, you know, how every time you're in the Matrix, you have that green cast to the scenes. I said, what about that? And Dan snapped back with, yeah, what if we take the colors in hell and jack them to 11? And the colors on Earth are actually dull and subdued. And I'm like, well, damn. Yeah. And so that's what I threw at Wes. And when you see these colors, you'll see, like, when the truck is involved, no matter where it is, the colors around the truck are just going to be saturated like crazy. And then you get to Earth and everything's very muted, laid back. And I can't wait. In issue 3, we're going to be in hell a lot. And I can't wait to see Wesley just go crazy.
And this is, if I'm not mistaken, it's a 5-issue run you're doing. So there'll be a Kickstarter for each of the issues. Or is the Kickstarter for all 5? Which way is this going to pan out?
The first, we're raising, so we can pay the professionals that we've got so that we can pay for the printing, the shipping, all the production aspects for the first issue. And then we're going to come back 2.5-3 months, is our goal to get those other issues, sort of off and running, following the model, other folks have, and hopefully building on the momentum of the first issue as well.
Now, is the idea to have just a 5-issue miniseries and be done, or is this something that, hey, we did so well, let's do another 5-issue series, or would it be maybe a continuation? Hey, we're going to do 6, 7, 8, 9 now as well. What is that something you guys have thought that far ahead about?
We've thought abysmally far ahead, as Carl said, that kind of, that first Maxell tape, kids look that up on the Google. That sort of blew him, back a little bit, really was somewhat complete. It didn't get into detail of every story point that we could possibly have, but it did look at it across 4 or 5 big story arcs, with an ending, with an ending in mind. Percy Frost is the main character, this young woman who gets shanghaied, press ganged. Into service, for this hell ride. It's not something she wants to be on. It's not something she wants to do. Maybe it's something she deserves. Maybe it's something she doesn't deserve. But ultimately, her growth or descent is where this story goes. So we do it from her point of view, and we want her story ultimately to be complete in its own way. And that's the goal, is to come back then with Axel's Infernal storyline 2 and 3, and hopefully continue that to pay off all the elements.
The amount of development in this story is unreal. And in doing so, we've ended up creating a whole universe that we can play in. And in a way, I'm kind of envious of Dan, because if this does really well, there are so many things we've come up with that he could write other stories and we could bring other artists on board if it turned into this incredible thing and other people could contribute. But what I like about it is the character arc of these particular characters is going to grow, reach an apex, and then it'll end. And you will have an ending to the story. It's not going to be the character forever. And the people that you're meeting within the story, we're going to catch up with them for the next story. One of the things I liked about Frank Miller's Sin City was how he would go back and revisit scenes with these characters, but you saw what was going on in the background with his previous main characters. And I was like, oh, if we could do that, that would be so awesome. But that's like a real mind bender, where the character is in the scene. It would be neat to slip this person there. And then later I like the idea that a reader can go, wait a minute, in issue one, I saw this dude. And to flip back through their story and go, holy crap, that's the same guy. People like that kind of Easter egg sort of thing, and I love it.
Absolutely. And I'm curious with so much stuff, and again, because I'm only asking this because you both said, quoting Dan, you thought abysmally ahead. With artists and writers both look at things, you know, when you're drawing something versus when you're writing a character, but because there's so much content comic book wise, and especially they're leaning towards the independent stuff that's being now, hey, we really love this. They'll pick up the rights, put it on streaming. Have you both thought of who would play Persephone and who would play Virgil if this does get optioned? And I'll start with Carl.
You know what? I would see Persephone as an unknown. I'd rather see an unknown player. The image I had in Virgil initially back 25 years ago or whatever, I drew him to look like Burt Lancaster.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't tell you. But if we were going into fantasy casting, my favorite character in the story is actually Necros. And Dan and I were wrestling with, man, how do we present this guy? How do we make him interesting? And one day I said, what if he was played by Tim Curry? Boom. Dan's like, bingo. And like, Tim Curry is darkness. Tim Curry is it. Tim Curry, anyway, I said, what if Tim Curry were in Necros' suit playing him? And all of a sudden, Dan's writing just went, whammo, because neither of us had gotten a grip on that character. And all of a sudden, he became my favorite guy. So I couldn't tell you. Whoever the current Tim Curry might be would be good. Dan might have a better finger on it. I wish I could give you a better answer.
No, that's a great answer. I like picturing Tim because the original It, as good as Skarsgård was, Tim Curry is still Pennywise to me. So I do agree with your answer there. And Dan, same question then?
These casting choices, one is dead, you know, so I'm not sure he'd be, you know, perfect for it. But
unless you can bring him back.
You know, it's unless you can bring him back. In my mind, Virgil was always Ernest Borgnine, the actor, you know, like that sort of kind of gruff, you know, workmanlike, you know, sort of character with some, you know, potential for darkness and a rougher edge, you know, there. A more modern casting for Percy is probably like Jenny Ortega, even though she looks nothing like her. You know, there's something about that dark, but I want to break through something in myself quality, you know, to her, you know, that she has. And you know, Necros, who's this dispatcher, you know, from hell again, is Curry might have been in play, you know, at one point, but I just put Mads Mikkelsen like in everything, you know, where I want somebody who is just going to be imposing, seductive, brutal, you know, in all these moments. And I could see somebody like him, you know, eating it up. But, you know, first let's get these guys on the page, sure, you know, in the right way, and get people to enjoy them, you know, hopefully in these ways where they start to cast themselves. And, you know, the fourth character in the book, you know, is really the truck itself, you know, which is called Smokin' Sammy, which is a character in its own right, you know, as we discover as it goes along. It's not just a vehicle, but it represents some sort of entity that is either in possession of the truck or is the truck itself, which works with these drivers on their way back and forth between these multiple hells, you know, that we're not going to visit all of them in this first story, but we definitely get a taste of them and a taste of the world, especially as we sort of visit this large, not in this first issue, but as we kind of go on into this large kind of dispatching area, sort of like a FedEx station for hell.
One of the questions I have is, we're wrapping this up too, I want to find out, because it's a Kickstarter, the big thing for people who want to chip in, they'll go the extra, you know, $10, $20, $30 for those tiers that are unlocked and the bonus things. Do you already have things planned? You don't have to announce them or anything like that. If you're like wanting to give some hints or whatever, I don't want to spoil the surprise for anybody, but you already have the tiers set and the goals in mind?
For example, right now I'm working on a mini poster that'll go with everything, and I still have to add some elements. One of the tiers is going to be the double page spread, which neither of us were really excited about, but we were titling it kind of like from the cutting room floor kind of thing. Because there's some aspects of it that are really neat, but it was just...
It's still very cool. It just wasn't right for
It wasn't
this.
Working. Mm. And there will be original pages, mm-hmm. signed books, some commissions. Yeah, there's going to be a bunch of things. I wish they could do something like commission Dan to write a story for him. That's one of the tiers.
Well, we could always add it, you know, but I think Carl's hit the high spots there. You know, there'll be some original art from the book itself. There'll be original sketches that Carl will do, you know, bespoke, you know, for this, you know, to some degree, like he gets to pick a character, but people are going to get a piece of original art. As he said, signed copies, some stickers, you know, the mini poster, you know, there'll be a variant cover. We're working right now, you know, to identify an artist there, but we didn't want to go too crazy, you know, in the sense of, look, right. Here's 26 variant covers and here's the foil and here's the scratch and sniff. And, you know, it keep it somewhat contained for us as well for the first time doing this. And, you know, I've been running this past folks who have done these Kickstarters, getting a read on, you know, what's worked for them. So that's been part of what we've said. Does this feel like it's enough? Does it need more? So far, you know, that's where we're at.
One of the tiers is going to be the double page spread we did use, which I'm going to have custom printed in color. So they'll get the art and they'll also get a poster size one-off signed print.
Oh, I didn't know that. Spread.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I'm going to do that.
That's I'm going to let you do the shipping on that one.
That's fine. I've got all the stuff. You know, I'm used to shipping art, man.
And if you're listening to this after the fact in the podcast form, scroll down to the bottom of the page and we'll have a link in the show notes to the Kickstarter so you can make sure you back Axel's Infernal. Dan, Carl, tell people if they want to keep up with the two of you and find out more about you online, website, social media handles, things like that. We'll start with Carl.
I'm on Instagram. I'm trying to remember what my Instagram is. One moment. Let's talk to Dan for a sec. Pull it up. Okay. I'm not kidding.
Carl needs to be more active on social, but folks can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. Just DG Chichester. And then my newsletter, storymaze.substack.com, will begin by this point, probably increasingly feature, you know, information about this to some degree, as well as other things. And we have a preview site. If the Kickstarter, for some reason, when folks are listening to this, is not yet live, which is simply axelsinfernal.com. And so that will have a link directly to the Kickstarter and or a link to an email list so that folks can stay up to date on that if for some reason this gets, you know, delayed a little bit one way or the other. But those are the best places to kind of track us and track what's going on with this.
I'm on Twitter under Carl G. Waller. And this is weird. It's like when someone asks the last four digits of your phone number, you're like, wait a minute, I don't dial my phone.
Well, we can Dan, find you on Instagram.
All right.
And we can put that link.
All right. Thanks.
No problem. And again, the Kickstarter, if you want to check that out, Axel's Infernal, we'll have that link for you. Great project by a bunch of great creative talents. So make sure to check it out. Dan, Carl, I appreciate your time, and hopefully we can talk again for maybe issue 3 or 4.
That sounds great, James. Thank you for having us on.
There they go, DG Chichester and Carl Waller, a couple of great people. If you get the chance, back that project. You still have some time left. There'll be a link if you're listening to this after the fact in the show notes. Scroll down to the bottom of the page, and you can back their Kickstarter there. A lot of cool tiers. I was just taking a look at it, and it's a lot of cool stuff. I'm probably going to be backing that later this week. So if you want to get the chance to jump in on that, please do. Just go to Kickstarter.com, look up Axel's Infernal, or go down to the bottom of the show notes and click it right there. We are going to take a very brief commercial break. We're going to come right back. Susan Eisenberg, the voice of Wonder Woman, will be joining us talking about a brand new podcast called Justice League Revisited. If you're a fan of that show, and who isn't, this is something you're going to want to check out. You're listening to Geek to Me Radio on the Big 550 KTRS. Please stand by.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. You're listening to Geek to Me Radio.
We are back. Geek to Me Radio, heard here every Sunday night on the Big 550 KTRS. I'm your host, James Enstall. We'll make sure we tell you about our official comic book sponsor, Bugs Comics and Games. If you are in the greater St. Louis, St. Charles area, maybe your local comic book store is closed. A lot of places did close due to the pandemic, just the idea of a brick-and-mortar store. A lot of people go online for their stuff. Not this kid. I go to the actual store. I want the actual comics in my hand to hold. It's one of those things. I wish they'd make a candle that smells like old comics, but I'm a weirdo. But if you want to get into the hobby, maybe you want to find a new comic book shop. Maybe you haven't started collecting comic books yet, but you want to because you've seen Blue Beetle and you've seen, you know, you're a fan of the Justice League animated series. You want to read these comic books. Then head out to Bugs Comics and Games in O'Fallon, right off of Bryan Road. You can get there easily from the page extension 364 or from Highway 70. Check them out if you want to get into the new comics. If you're not sure where to start, maybe it's overwhelming to you, ask Larry at Bugs Comics and Games. Say, hey, I heard about you on Geek to Me Radio, and he said you're the guy to talk to. Larry is like your personal comic concierge. He will tell you, okay, what are you looking for? Okay, you might want to check out this comic. You might want to check out this. And he's not going to upsell you. He's got boxes and boxes of dollar books. You can get new comics brand new off the shelf. You can get older back issues. He's got like three for $10 boxes and up from there. And you can save money on your hobby by joining the Avengers Club. Each week you will save money while buying your new comics, your back issues, your bags, your boards, your toys, your games, all that good stuff. Save money where you can in this economy. Why not join the Avengers Club? And also check them out on Instagram at Bugs Comics and Games on Instagram. He's got some stuff up there for sale as well. So if you're not in the St. Louis area, check him out and you can get some comics right there from the source. Bugs Comics and Games, give their Facebook page a like. It's always cool to see that little like tick on their Facebook page go up. Bugs Comics and Games. Proud to have them as our official comic book sponsor here on Geek to Me Radio. My next guest needs no introduction. She's been on the show so many times. She is like the Tom Hanks. She's like the Tom Hanks of Geek to Me Radio. She's been on the show so many times. Susan Eisenberg, back with us again. How are you?
I am well, and I'll take that Tom Hanks analogy. That works for me.
I started to go with Candace Bergen, but she was the first female guest host for Saturday Night Live, but she didn't go on there as often. So you're always with me, which I appreciate.
She has the jacket, you know, that jacket where people come back over. Right, exactly. you know, I just thought I needed to talk to you more because we haven't talked enough.
Right. I worry you'll eventually get sick of me. We have Dan Reba in the chat says, hi, Susan. Hi, James. When are you guys going to have Dan Reba on your show again? So I guess we need to have Dan Reba on Geek to Me Radio again, which I think is a stellar idea. Thank you for that suggestion, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, how great was Dan Reba being our first guest on our new podcast? Do your listeners know about our podcast?
I did mention it last week, I believe, that we were doing it, but I wanted to have you on the show to officially let everybody know. We've already got the one episode that's out there on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, anywhere you get your podcast from, you should be able to find it. We're putting it on more and more sites as we go. But so Susan and I are now doing Justice League Revisited. If you're a fan of the Justice League animated series, and like I said, who isn't? Susan and I are going back and rewatching the episodes in their episodic release order. Our first guest was the aforementioned Dan Reba, and we covered the first three episodes as one because they released them as a movie on November the... What, I just lost my train of thought. What was the date? November 1st? November 3rd?
3rd, I want to say, but I could be wrong. I don't have notes for this interview, so... Yeah, 2001. Yikes.
Hard to believe. But so Dan was great. He went through all the details with us. I learned stuff. You learned stuff you didn't even know.
So much stuff. And what was so cool was the fans learned so much stuff. I mean, people were writing us left and right, just saying how much they appreciated hearing the stories. They're like the behind-the-scenes stories. And I only know what happened in that booth from the moment I walked into the animation building to when I leave. But there's so much else that goes on, obviously, from the writing, directing, the artwork, the music, everything. And we're hoping to have everyone on. I mean, not on one show.
Right. That'd be a lot to deal with. Because that's another thing you and I talked about was we wanted to keep them, their attention. So we're trying to keep them to right about an hour's length, no more.
Yeah, and I think that works. You know, I think it's great to have that hour conversation. And then, you know, and I also, there are a lot of episodes that were two-parters or mm-hmm. three-parters. And, you know, we'll have different guests talking about the same episode. And I don't know if we're going to give away who our next, well, we know who our next guest is. We've given that away, right?
I'm not sure if the listeners know or not, but we put it on social media. So everyone who's following the show on social media, we should mention it's at OG Justice League is all one word, at OG Justice League on Twitter. That's where the main hub is for keeping up. But Susan's doing great about posting all the stuff on her social media as well. We'll give out those handles later as well. But yeah, our second guest is Phil Lamar, obviously, which everyone on social media knows. And it was so fun to talk to him about In Blackest Night.
It really was, and I did learn a lot. I mean, I've known the guy forever, and we've talked. We do so many Comic Cons together, and I've been on panels with him. But still, I learned. He's such a guru. You know, he knows so much about the genre, and you know, whether it's comic books or cartoons, he knows so much about the characters. So. It was really fascinating doing not only the interview itself, but doing the research for Phil and like watching his interviews and hearing him talk about his career and not just the Justice League and Unlimited, but all the other things he'd done. And I learned a lot and a lot about him. So it was really fun to have that conversation. And hopefully we'll get, all the cast, with the obvious exception of Mr. Conroy, which we did address in the first episode. That's obviously going to be really, you know, it's very challenging to do this without Kevin out there, but we will. And, you know, there are so many beautiful memories that will come up and so many stories. And I think it's great that, you know, I think the fans love hearing about him, obviously, about Kevin and about what went on in that room and what went on after and how they scored the show and how they wrote the shows. And it's, you know, we've gotten such positive feedback. So I feel really good about doing this podcast. I'm excited. And you and I are both like we're a little giddy about the whole thing.
Yes. Dan Reba's back in the chats. He says, yay, Phil. And our friend Chance in Atlanta says, best of success with the new pod. So thank you both of you for that. It is, we have that shadow of Kevin, he's one of those people, but I was thinking about this before, I'm not going to put you on the spot right now, but I've got some ideas for people who we could have come in who were familiar with Kevin and who are familiar with the show, who might be some great guests to come on and have talk about not only a Batman-centric episode, but about Kevin if they knew him well enough, so...
Oh, there are so many people out there who could do that, and I could think of a few names, but I haven't talked to them yet, so I'm not going to mention them.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, you know, listen, Kevin, everyone knows Kevin, everyone loves him, he is dearly missed by the fans, by all of us, so, you know, we're obviously going to talk about him, and there'll be a lot of other things we'll talk about as well, and... we wanted to make a point of talking about him on the first episode because, you know, he's on all of our minds, especially when we talked about doing this. It's, but the truth is that there are so many people, whether it's the writers or the actors or, you know, any of the people who were affiliated with the show, when we reached out to them, people have been so eager to tell their stories and to come on the show and talk about their experience with the show. So it makes me feel really good that after all these years, it still holds such a special place for people.
And I know you obviously have the original seven on speed dial. So I love the fact that Carl Lumley wants to come on. George is excited. Maria said she was happy. And then Michael already has his episode picked out that he wants to do, which was really neat.
yeah, Michael was just like, okay, dude, it's a lot of work. Good luck.
Right. he knows he has a video, you know, the video stuff he does for his podcast Inside of You and all the booking, everything. It is a lot of work. That's very true.
He's also doing on camera, which we are not. We are doing audio only. I mean, right. We may break that rule on a few occasions, but overall, we're just doing the audio. I think it's very different when you do on camera, too. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, his celebrities, he gets a lot of celebrities, and that takes a lot of planning.
Yeah.
Schedules. I mean, even when we would do the Justice League reunions, it was so challenging to get seven people available on the same day
right. And
the same time. So hopefully, you know, fingers crossed, we'll get all of my co-stars on there. I mean, we already have Phil. So
yep. Hopefully
we'll have somebody else coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to give anything away.
No. But we'll tell you what, let me take a quick commercial break and we're going to come back and talk a little bit more. If you're listening right now, if you have any questions for me or Susan Eisenberg, you can ask those in the chats like Dan and like Chance have. You can also text us your questions at 84126 on the KTRS text lines. We're going to take a very brief commercial break here. We'll come right back, and we'll talk more with Susan Eisenberg about Justice League Revisited. You're listening to Geek to Me Radio on the Big 550. Please stand by.
Hey, this is Dave Desmalchin. You're listening to Geek to Me Radio.
Welcome back to Geek to Me Radio. I'm your host, James Enstall. I want to make sure we tell you about our premier sponsor, and that, of course, is the City of St. Charles, the Greater St. Charles Convention and Visitors Bureau, Legends and Lanterns, their first weekend just fired off this weekend. So if you missed it, that's okay. You have two more weekends to go. They do it next Saturday and Sunday, and then the following Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You can get out there for their pumpkin glow, all sorts of cool things. They had so many cool interactions. They had Lizzie Borden out there teaching you how to swing an axe. They had the Queen of Hearts threatening to cut people's heads off with your heads. She always screams as she's looking for Alice. They have Ichabod Crane in Search of the Headless Horseman. You can learn about literary stuff with Mary Shelley and the Brothers Grimm. And they've got the Weird Sisters from Macbeth out there. They'll teach you how to brew potions. You can sing karaoke with Phantom of the Opera. A lot of fun was had by a lot of people, a lot of smiles on a lot of faces. If you go out there, make sure you tag hashtag Legends and Lanterns in your tag. You might get featured on the City of St. Charles website. There's always something going on, whether it's a festival, whether it's something on one of the shops up and down Main Street are having, whether they've got their food truck days or whatever it might be. So go check it out. Start your trip at the website, of course, discoverstcharles.com. That's discoverstcharles.com. You can find out more. This is an area that's totally made up of small businesses up and down these quaint, historic cobblestone streets, these mom-and-pop shops that are out there, these great little restaurants with incredible food items. You need to walk from restaurant to restaurant because you'll gain so much weight from all the incredible food. But there's always a good time, always something going on. City of St. Charles is an amazing place. If you are local and haven't been out there lately, Halloween's a great time to go check out their festival, Legends and Lanterns. If you're from out of town, like Susan in California, you might want to come in for a visit at some point. Start your trip, again, at the website, discoverstcharles.com. That's discoverstcharles.com. As we always say, it's an historically good time. We do have Susan Eisenberg on the phone talking about Justice League Revisited, brand new podcast. First episode is out. The second episode drops in just 2 days, Tuesday. You'll be able to hear the second episode, our conversation with Phil LaMarr. We cover these in episodic order, so we'll be talking in Blackest Night, which was episodes 4 and 5. And obviously, it's the second story, so we're covering it as our second episode. Now, we got another one on deck, also covering In Blackest Night. We'll kind of say, do you want to tell people who our next guest is after Phil, or you want to wait? Make them wait.
Maybe we can make them wait.
All right, we'll do that.
Can we talk about our next guest, though? Did we mention the next guest on social media?
I can't remember if we did. It's been a rough week, I got to say. I mean, look at me. I look like I'm bloodshot here with the eyes and everything. I got the hat on because my hair is a mess. It's been a rough week. But should we go ahead and tell him? Yeah, Joey says we did mention it on social media. So, yes, we have writer, of the In Blackest Night episode. We have Stan Berkowitz. So we're going to be talking with him about In Blackest Night for our third episode, because Susan and I were talking about it, and the best thing to do, I think, is to get a couple different perspectives, which is so much fun to do, because we'll hear things from Phil that, you know, we might not have heard and Stan wouldn't know, and then we hear stuff from Stan that Phil wouldn't know. So we're revisiting each episode with different people, and that gives us all these new perspectives. And like you said, Susan, it's like listening to the behind-the-scenes commentary as you watch these episodes.
That's what it's like. It's like the DVD, you know, when you get a DVD, you know, like when you get a Blu-ray, I don't even know what the kids are watching now these days. But when you get these things to watch your favorite things, you know, I love the extras. And what's great now is that so much time has gone by, and people are just so, you know, they're just so touched at, you know, by the opportunity to talk about this beloved show. So, you know, we've reached out to a lot of people, and, you know, I've been just overjoyed that the response has been, yes, when, you know. So, you know, I think that everyone who worked on the show knows how special, especially with the passage of time.
Yeah.
And we, you know, knows how special it was. And because I'm lucky enough to go to Comic-Cons and to be on social media and have a conversation with the fans, I know how much they, you know, still hold it so close to their hearts. And for a lot of the fans, that's how they met a lot of these characters. And so, you know, I think I've heard a lot from the fans is, I'm so glad you're doing this because the show means the world to me. And it means the world to all of us. So, and I know it does to you, James. So, I mean, it was like, we talked about it for a long time, but it finally felt like, okay, I think now's the time to launch this, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think with, I haven't told you this yet, but I just got word from another writer who wants to do it. And I just got the Facebook instant message earlier tonight. So I'll tell you that off the air because I don't want to spoil it. I'm not sure when we're going to have this person, but we did get another yes from another writer. So I'm excited.
Yeah, and I love talking to the writers. I mean, without those words, you know, we don't get the magic.
Yeah.
And Phil, when we talked to Phil about In Blackest Night and having, you know, having him say all these things that have now become iconic, he's like, he was the one to say, without that writer, without Stan and that dialogue, you know, I don't get to deliver on the magic.
Yeah.
So hats off to all of the creatives around that show. Hats off.
And so many great writers and directors. So that's another great thing. And then we're going to try to get a couple storyboard artists who kind of, you know, gave the directors and the writers and the voice actors kind of an idea of, here's what's going to look like. Here's what we have going on. I know Dan gave some insights as to some of the storyboard people, you know, what they did blew him away in some instances. And then Phil was very impressed by some of them. And the same names came up. So we're definitely going to reach out and try to get them as well.
Yeah, and it was interesting when we were talking to Phil, and people will hear that interview when it drops on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday. But it was really interesting because he was talking about we were talking about finding the voice of Green Lantern, and I don't know that many people know that we don't see the finished product before we record. So it's not like we're looking at the picture and the action, and we're like recording to the picture. We're, you know, there is no picture. There is nothing. There's a drawing. I mean, I think I posted a while back, like a throwback, to the audition that I had where I had, you know, I posted a script, a piece of the script and a picture of Wonder Woman that Bruce had done, but you know, we didn't have the picture. So it's so fascinating. I mean, the first time you see it animated, I can't even express what that feels like, you know, to see yourself up there as Wonder Woman, as Green Lantern, as Hawkgirl, and to, you know, hear your voice come out of these magnificent characters. It's really something special.
And speaking of magnificent characters, you've now another character under your belt in the video game realm, because there's a new Mortal Kombat game out in which you voice a new character. Tell us a little bit about that.
You know, it was. Thank you for mentioning that. It's the character of Ashra, and it, you know, I didn't, once again, I didn't really know much about the franchise. I have learned a little bit since I started. It's something I've been working on for years. I mean, this isn't, you know, these video games take forever because there are just so many components that go into them. And they're just, you know, these monumental projects. So I've been working on it for a really long time. And it was recently, I think in September, they released the trailer with my character. And, you know, I'm thrilled that I was able to do it. I mean, it's heady being part of that franchise. It's also intimidating. I'm glad I didn't know too much about it. I mean, of course, I'd heard of it, Mortal Kombat, everyone knows right. it. But I didn't know really too much about it. And I'm glad I didn't, because it would have been like, it would have loomed very large. But the response, I think, has been pretty good, and to my character, and I'm delighted. And people kept saying, I thought that voice sounded familiar. And I'm like, yeah, you know, it's not quite Wonder Woman. In fact, it's not Wonder Woman sounding, but you know, it's me. It's Suze. So you can definitely hear it. But yeah, I'm excited. And in fact, I'm still recording episodes. So it's a good gig. I have no complaints. I work with good people.
So Mortal Kombat, Star Wars, yes. He-Man, Justice League, you've got all these different franchises. It's kind of incredible.
I know. I have to say, very lucky, very lucky. And one of the thrills, I mean, really, truly was doing Star Wars, The Force Unleashed, because, I mean, ridiculous to be in anything Star Wars. I mean, you pinch yourself. But then to be able to say, may the Force be with you, Maris Brood, you know, I got chills when I had to say that in the session. And, you know, that I don't say that, it's not like I had this huge part, but I will forever be grateful for having been a part of that. It's, you know, you just, as any actor will tell you, you just feel so lucky to get any job. And when it's jobs that you're just so proud of and are so grateful for, you know, it just, the gratitude doesn't end. You just keep feeling gratitude for each and every job. So Mortal Kombat came as a surprise, and it has been a lovely gift. Lovely.
And again, in addition to that, obviously, she wasn't busy enough. She's doing this podcast with me, Justice League Revisited, which I think you and I are going to talk about, because we'd like to do we'll plan a time and a date to do a watch party. And then you and I will live tweet from our social media accounts. People can watch it with us they can put in a Blu-ray or a DVD, or they can stream it. And then we'll all watch it together. So you'll get running commentary on the episodes from you and I.
Yeah, I think that's the best way I think that's so fun, because you want it, and you and I talked about this, we want it to be like communal. We want it to feel like we're all in this conversation together, and we ask people for questions before we do the interviews. So, you know, if you have a question, well, we've already done the episode, but for upcoming ones, you know, any questions you have for our guests, you can shoot them to us on social media, and then we will ask the guest. I mean, with Phil, we definitely did that, and it was great. I mean, it's like the Q&A when you do a panel at a Comic-Con, and it's so important to involve the fans and have them be part of this conversation that we're going to have with all these wonderful guests.
And we'll be dropping new episodes every 2 weeks. So this coming Tuesday, 2 days from now, we're going to have a new episode, and then 2 weeks after that, 2 weeks after that. The hour has already blown by. So speaking of social media, Susan, if people want to keep up with you, websites, social media handles, things like that, where people can find you.
Well, luckily, I have the same handle everywhere. So it's Susan Eisenberg with the number one. I'm on most of the sites. I'm on Threads. I'm on Instagram. I do visit Twitter. I'm not as often as I used to, but I still check in there. And I have a website that's SusanEisenbergVoice.com. And you can always you know, check out what's happening there. And you can always email me there at the website. So, yeah, I'm out and about on the social media. You know, there are a bunch now, as everyone knows. So, you know, it's you can find me, Susan Eisenberg One.
Perfect. We'll have links to those in the show notes as well. Susan, thanks for taking time on a Sunday night to join me. I'm sure I'll be talking to you very soon.
Like tomorrow?
Probably so.
Thank you for having me. And thank you for talking about our podcast. I'm so excited.
I am too. Thanks very much for joining me tonight on the show.
My pleasure, really. I'll talk to you soon.
Take care. There she goes, Susan Eisenberg. Thanks to Susan. Thanks to DG Chichester and Carl Waller for Axel's Inferno. Thank you, of course, to our sponsors, the City of St. Charles, Greater St. Charles Convention and Visitors Bureau, Bugs Comics and Games, and our partner, Kokomo Toys. Thank you, as always, to Joey V for making the show sound and look as good as it does. We're going to be back next Sunday, so stick around. Until then, my friends.
Hey kids, are your parents about to buy you a shiny new toy from Amazon?
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
Well, don't be selfish. Share some of that money with us. Before going on Amazon, make sure to type in bit.ly/geektome in the web browser. It will look just like Amazon.com, except it'll say referral Geek to Me Radio up top. And then when you check out, a tiny percentage will go to support the show without costing you 1 cent more. So before your parents get you that gizmo, gadget, or widget, make sure they type in bit.ly/geektome in the web browser.
bit.ly/geektome, bit.ly/geektome.